This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good morning, I should say good afternoon, everybody out there. This is Joy 94.9 on your FM dial, and this is Detours, the travel show where we take you far and wide and near and close and everywhere else in between. What do you say, Greg?
And we do take you, Lindsay. We'll take you on different destinations for sure.
Oh, absolutely, Greg.
It's Lindsay Curliffe, it's Greg Atkins. Jodie's on assignment somewhere for Easter, chasing the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, I think that's more what she's doing.
And you're with us on Detours. We've been going 14 years. Have you been with us for the whole journey? Maybe. Let us know. 0427 Joy949 or on air at joy.org.au. And we've got two fabulous guests joining us today, Lindsay.
I know, and very handsome guests too, I might add.
Yeah, shortly we'll have Kevin Carr and, of course, Israel Pascal in our studio for Detours. But before we do that, tell me what you've been up to this week.
Well, this week was a bit of a sad week, actually, Greg, because I went to Renee Scott's funeral on Wednesday, and I must say a big thank you and commend everybody that was involved in putting that event together. It was amazing, and Sky Brooks' visual tribute was just incredible, of course. But yeah, and it was really sad to say goodbye. I think everybody is still a little bit shocked out there that Renee's no longer with us. And again, you know, a big thanks to everybody. But the wonderful thing about funerals, and I'm sure that, you know, other people out there find the same thing, is you manage to connect with so many people who you haven't seen for such a long time. And I have to say, I've had five new Facebook friend requests since Renee's funeral from people that I've bumped into.
How cool is that?
Well, yeah, so, you know, and I think it's that thing, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in that situation. I'm sure there's so many more people who are at Renee's service that, you know, have connected again and, you know, have probably even more Facebook friends. But, you know, that thing about death, you know, it does bring people together and, you know, and all the power to the people who were involved in that.
Now, Renee Scott was one of the original showgirls in Melbourne. She performed in...
She was a late girl, but mainly she'll be known in Melbourne for Pokies, being in Pokies, and she was just astronomical. She was one of these women that... She was just so incredibly sexy. I think lesbians were in love with her as well as, you know, gay men, straight men. You know, she just, you know, so I was going to say catered to people across the thing, but she might have done. But you know, she was just one of those people that was just liked by so many, and just, you know, an incredible performer. Her family were there. It was just an amazing day. And I think the thing is too that what a lot of us were talking about is, you know, a lot of us are getting up in years now, and there was very little representation from, you know, younger people who probably don't understand that, you know, Renee might have not been a active or a president of a gay community organisation, but just the mere fact that these people were out there and doing it in a time when it was so incredibly difficult, I think that really really needs to be recognised.
So a tribute, you know, to Renee Scott, and we'll play a little bit of music later on to be our tribute to Renee Scott.
Absolutely, thank you.
So stay tuned with us for that. Now, joining us in the studio, Kevin and Israel, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we've got to have mics on, don't we? You can tell we're community radio.
No, it's all good.
How fantastic. And we want to thank the Saturday Magazine team, Tom Pellard, Pete Dillon, fantastic production by Shannon Power, and our newsreader, Matt, before us. Now, guys, this isn't your first time in Joy. You've managed to find yourself up the stairs here at City Village a couple of times in the last week. But we thank you for coming and sharing your travel journeys.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having us.
I want to ask, how does a man from Maui and a man from the Philippines managed to find their way so that you're sharing a bit of a path in life? This is going to be an interesting journey we explore today. So how did it first start, guys?
It actually started just over 7 years ago, and it was on a little known website known as Grindr, which I think...
Gaydar, Kevin. Gaydar. Grindr wasn't available.
That's right. Sorry. Yeah, Grindr's actually taken over, isn't it? No, it was Gaydar back in the day. And, we decided to have a catch-up a bit of a date at the old candy bar.
Catch up date. Was it just a
nothing
one-off?
Seedy? It was all PG. All nice.
And you had friends across the road watching just in case something happened.
Yeah, I had my friends. I had one of my lesbian friends and my straight friend, and just in case
had the backup. Yeah,
they'll whisk me away in case if he was a weirdo. I'm kidding.
How cool! And tell me, did his profile name say Big Kev? My ancient.
Big Kev from Big Kev's Bonza Brekkie.
That's it. We've had a little birdie's tipped us off that Kev used to host a show on Gippsland FM between 6 and 9 on one particular day of the week called Big Kev's Bonza Breakfast.
It was a nightmare back then. And that was when I was in my uni days. So back in my closeted uni days, I should say. So it was a bit of an interesting experience, 6 to 9 in the morning. So,
fantastic. Yeah. And we have those closeted days, don't we, too? What about you, Israel? Before you came out, what was it like being a young gay man, knowing you're gay, and growing up in the Philippines?
It was tough. I spent most of my life growing up here, but it's very tough, as most gay people would know, that just living this kind of like a second life and just denying, trying to convince yourself all these years that I'm not, because religiously my parents would disagree, or they're just going to say, oh, I'm going to go to hell. But the toughest part is admitting to yourself that you are gay, and it's who you are. It's self-acceptance is the hardest part of the journey, I think. And then everybody else, once you've dealt with that, then it doesn't really matter what anybody thinks.
And the cultural difference there, I mean, I'm sure we have different religions and faiths in Gippsland and different cultural backgrounds. But in the Philippines, it's very Christian. It's very...
very Catholic.
Catholic.
Yeah.
And that comes from, you know, the missionaries, the Spanish that came into the Philippines. The touch of Spanish in you as well, I think, which you'll have to check out The Voice on Channel 9 at some point to see Israel's...
A bit of a plug.
And what he looks like. But there's a touch of Spanish. And with that came the very strict Catholic values.
Very strict, because there is an expectation that you'll meet this lovely lady one day and have a ton of kids, and basically that's what's drilled into everyone's minds. And if you don't fit that mold, then it's shame on you. They kind of like, you know, it's a bit of a shock, and you don't want to be the talk of the town, you know, the town gossip.
Yeah. But with the hypocrisy over there, that some of the most famous TV presenters are actually homosexual. Yeah. One in particular, Boy Abundo, is actually well renowned. He's pretty much on pretty much every TV show across the nation over there, and everyone loves him. But of course, everyone ignores the fact.
But they love cross dressers. So. I don't get it. They love cross dressers and they love flamboyant gays. But when they see someone who's like, you know, oh, he's not flamboyant, but he's gay, it doesn't make sense. Like, you know, what's the deal there?
But it's probably isn't about when they strip aside the gayness, our sexuality, and the fear comes when they start thinking about what we actually do when we have sex. You know, it's that intimacy part that freaks them out a little bit. And I don't know, heterosexual sex freaks me out a bit too. I don't want them to flaunt it. I'm not going to flaunt what I do. I don't want them to do it to us. I can understand a bit of that. It's that fear of the unknown.
Yeah. But it's like, who thinks about that? Like, do you think about your parents doing it? It's like, oh
every day. I mean, yeah, whenever there's a spare thought. But I think that's the whole thing. I've always maintained, if you take sort of the word sex away from all this, and, you know, not even same-sex partnerships, or, you know, come up with something, but remove the word sex, they won't think about the sex. You know, so because it, you know, like in our times, it is really all about the sex. You know, the first thing they say is, what do you do? You know, nothing. Nothing. We cuddle.
Now, we're going to explore some of your travel journeys after this. We're going to play a little bit of Cyndi Lauper and Sarah McLachlan. This is actually a tribute we want to play for Renee Scott. But it's also for you guys as well, because I think it's a pretty good song. It's about time after time.
Oh, beautiful.
You say, go slow, but If it's tired, boring music you're looking for, you've come to the wrong station. Joy 94.9, now playing the hottest new music first.
And you're here on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guest Israel and Kevin. And we're talking about a range of interesting parts of your life, gentlemen, about your travelling together, about being gay men, about cultural difference. And we've had a message from John from Elsternwick. And John said that flamboyant gay is regarded as asexual. When you're flamboyant, when you're out there, you just don't have sex in people's minds. You're more, it's more flamboyant and being the package rather than the individual that actually shares that same characteristic of needing to have intimacy with people. Good point, John. So thank you for contributing. You too can contribute. 0427-JOY-949, 0427-569-949, or it's onair at joy.org.au.
And there is that carrier pigeon that we can deliver at to you and can fly it right back. But it is interesting, that thing. I mean, it's actually Magda Zabanski too. And I have to admit that I've sort of seen this myself, that when you are sort of out there or a little bit larger or whatever, people don't actually equate you. You can come out and say, oh, yeah, I'm gay. And I actually had a friend of mine say to me, oh, so you would have a girlfriend at some stage? I said, yeah. You know, like they just don't, which I think in one way is a good thing. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? I don't know, but it's a thing and it's there.
It definitely
and
is.
I'm thinking I'm digging a hole right now.
Oh, look, Lindsay, I love watching you dig a hole because we know you'll dig yourself back out again.
I'll dig myself back out again.
Now, Kevin, going to the Philippines for the first time with your man, what was that like for you?
Oh, that was a very interesting experience. 2006 it was, and pretty much from the airport and from immediately getting off the plane and getting hit by the heat of the Philippines, for one, was amazing. And a little bit of a smell, which was a bit of a shocker for me as well in my
bit
nostrils.
Of a smell?
Oh, smell. Yes.
What did it smell like?
What did it kind
different.
Of
different.
Like? A traffic smog.
Smell of smog and sweat and slightly garbagey. But other than that, lovely country. But yeah, just you know, getting in a taxi for the first time over there and then experiencing the bumper to bumper. And it doesn't matter if the light's green, orange or red. It's okay. You can go through as long as you honk your horn and squeeze. And so literally it was like a rat race trying to squeeze through and, you know, making sure you don't bump with the car next to you. And the taxi driver was just taking it all in his stead, and I was gripping the handles and looking out the window and saying, Israel, I'm scared. But yeah, no, it was wonderful. That was the first half an hour.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Now, what was it like for you, Israel, having your new man coming to your country, your home country, your country of birth for the first time?
I was pretty excited. Yep. But then again, it was like there's this bit of hesitance. It's like, oh, how's he going to take this? Will he judge me?
Yes.
For what country he's become?
Did you really think that? Did you feel that?
To some degree, yeah. I was a little concerned. Oh, is he going to handle the heat? Is he going to be okay with the food? Is it going to be like this cultural thing, because Kevin likes to speak his mind, and you know, some, you know, they, it's kind of hustle bustle there, and there might be a difference in
there was a big difference in communication.
Communication, yeah. That's, yeah, that huge. Was my big thing. And Kevin likes to complain about certain, you know, level of service, and
if
he doesn't get it,
is not zingery enough, I will complain. So things like this, but it was good. We had a buffer because your parents and your sister were already there at the time on holiday. They'd arrived a week and a half before we did because they were going to visit family and travel out to the islands, because there's like a whole bunch of different islands. And
1,500 islands.
Just
very
a few.
Good, very good.
Just a few. And Israel's mum's from one of those islands, so they went out to the islands first and then they came back into the main, you know, Manila. And so I had a buffer. I had people who I knew spoke English, so I could talk to them and they would, you know, translate in Tagalog if we needed to. But I think the most unusual was meeting your aunties for the first time. Was a little bit different because
it's like a Filipino Gilbert and Sullivan, isn't it? The Filipino arts. what do you mean by that, Kev? Tell us.
Oh,
about
no,
that.
It's just immediately obviously. At the time, I was slightly more overweight than I am now, and Yes, yes, I am. And
listeners, he's not overweight. This body image stuff men have, I'll tell you.
Being very pale, and of course, most Filipinos are quite dark, a lot darker than what Israel is. They love the fact that I had a nose, and they quite often commented that they'd like to take my nose and replace it with theirs, so that would swap.
We have Filipinos have this thing about having, you know, Caucasian noses because we all believe our noses are flat. And when they saw Kevin's beautifully structured Roman nose, they're like, oh, can I have it, please?
What camp is that?
So I was a little bit afraid of thinking that I'm going to get kidnapped and you know, someone's going to surgically remove my nose somewhere during my holiday. But, yeah, no, that was fun. Very good experience. And, yeah, they loved me and that worked out quite good.
So by this time, you were well and truly out, weren't you, Israel?
At that time, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what
it only recently, though, it wasn't... right. It's probably been year, less about it? Less than a year. Mm.
But you might have just come out. However, I'm sure maybe even your mum, but certainly the aunts would have had a perception that Israel was maybe a gay boy rather than a straight boy.
I think
boy.
They had an idea, mainly because prior to me going there, they were always asking, oh, have you got a girlfriend? Are you getting married yet? And all this. And I'm like, no. No. And, you know, always the conclusion, he's either gay or there's something wrong with him.
So, embraced by the aunts, were you, Kev?
I was, yes, and the cousins, and that was a very interesting experience. And going to visit the family home for the first time in Marikina, so it was an interesting experience, having all these little sides. It's kind of like if you imagine the little Italian alleyways you've seen, you know, on shows before. A lot of the little areas are like that, and so you've got people walking up and down the street, and, you know, all very close-knit communities and things like that. So when someone new appears in the area, immediately everyone you know, starts looking and starts questioning, and first of all, why is this white person doing in a little hamlet here? But but it was really fun to be like to actually see what their house looked like. It's, you know, concrete built home, and it was pink inside. We were at home there, so it felt well.
It was like Disneyland.
And you know, just the experience. And they didn't have an air conditioner, but they had a whole bunch of fans going on and things like that. So yeah, it was really interesting, just completely different to
now,
what we used to
travel there. When you flew into Manila, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. How do you get to this hometown from Manila?
Wow, we have to catch a taxi. You can catch a taxi. And usually if you arrive there at a really bad time, you could be spending about an hour and a half in traffic. That's the best way, because otherwise there's jeeps. They're called jeepneys, and they're like these old military style jeeps, and everybody just, you know,
they're like a troop.
Yeah, they all just cram into this little thing, and people are hanging off it. But yeah, that's not the most ideal way to go. Yeah. So I didn't want to put him through that with his luggage and potentially being pickpocketed. But fantastic. Yeah, no.
And it's about an hour and a half drive from Manila.
Technically, on a good day, it's probably 45 minutes. But yeah, on a bad day, a couple of hours. Yeah, a couple of hours.
It's an amazing place. My little tale of the Philippines is staying in Forbes Park, and they have armed security, and the fire brigade came to try and put out a fire, and they didn't have the proper authorization to get in, and house burnt down, and all the people died. Because the armed guards wouldn't let the fire brigade in. I'm thinking, a very structured society we've got in the Philippines.
But that's like the Beverly Hills of the Philippines. You go there, everything outside it is pretty average, and then you go into it, it's like you're in Turak, but grander and bigger, and, you know, the Prince of Brunei has a house there.
A compound. So it's very haves and have-nots. Now, coming from the Philippines, do you sense that, get a sense of the haves and have-nots?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's very obvious when you do have stuff, and it's very obvious that when you don't. It's one extreme to the other. There's nothing in between. And it's kind of sad. Like, the first time I was there, I was more sad than I was happy, because I felt guilty in a way. Like, wow, I'm so privileged to have even had this lifestyle in Australia, and we take so many things for granted. And you know, you've got little kids begging on the street, and then my cousins are like, don't give them any money, because you don't know, they might give that money off to some drug dealer or whatever. But it's like, I don't see that. I see a little kid asking for money, So I'm like, you know, he's a dollar, which is like nothing.
So that little kid, that actually could be you for different circumstances, yeah. Couldn't it?
Yeah.
So that connects with you.
That connects with me because, like, I, you know, you do see yourself in these kids. Mm. So
fantastic. Yeah. And really interesting, they're quite often around the place, around the traps. The Intramuros is a place where you often see the begging kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the old bald Spanish town, the old original part where the Spaniards came. And I've got a sense that the kids might be a little bit more organised than we assume.
You know? Yeah. So I've been told that if you were to give anything, just give them food. So I give them, you know, whatever I have in my bag that's, you know, like a burger or a sandwich or whatever. I'll just give them that, cool. But not money, yeah.
So do they take that? Do they accept that? Because I've noticed sometimes in Melbourne, if, you know, somebody says, oh, I want, you know, some money for, or I want a cigarette, and you... So, you know, I've had the experience where I say, well, you know, here's some tobacco. I know I don't want to roll it, you know. Do you sort of find that, you know, well, you know, I want money for public transport. Well, here, you know, I've got an all-day ticket. I'm not using it again. They just about cut your throat for it.
Wow.
Do you sort of find that, you know, they just accept that there is a sort of more sense of being genuine or something
about
it?
Well, in my experience, they've always accepted it. But I have heard of stories where they would say, no, money please. And that's when you kind of walk away and hopefully they don't have like a gang to the, you know, that might follow you. But yeah, I've heard of stories like that. It does get to that point sometimes.
Now we're talking 8 to 10 year old kids here.
Oh yeah, and younger.
And younger.
God.
Now that voice is Israel Pascal, and Kevin Carr is his partner. They're both here on Detours with Lindsay and Greg. You've got a bit of music that you guys have brought along. What's this called?
It's by CeeLo Green called Big Lights, Big City.
Yeah. This is one of your favourite tracks.
Oh, it's one of our favourite tracks. We love CeeLo.
Fantastic. On Detours, stay with us. Joy 94.9.
To Joy when you want, where you want, with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au.
You're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guest Israel Pascal and Kevin Carr. Or should I say Kevin Corche?
Yeah, you can say Kevin Corche if you want to.
Tell us about Kevin Corche. How'd that come about?
We had some interesting experiences with Israel's cousin when we were in the Philippines on the way back to the airport, and they drove past this big sign that in Filipino said car sales. And I said, oh, what's that say? Because I recognised that there was cars underneath the sign. And they said, and Israel explained that it was car sales. And then they started joking because they realised my surname was Carr. And it's not something that they're used to, you know, hearing a person with a name. Although it's spelt differently, but the sound is the same. So they immediately started calling me Kevin Corche.
I love it. I just love it.
And Israel's been keeping that going on ever since.
Yeah, that's it.
So how many times to the Philippines have you both been together?
Twice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And special parts outside of the built-up urban areas? Where have you been?
We went to Boracay, a fabulous, beach resort.
Yeah.
It's like, apparently we're told that it's like Phuket 20 years ago. It's pristine waters and they've got beautiful beaches and resorts. You can go jet skiing, massages on the beach, and it's just heavenly. Although we only had like one day of that and six days of typhoon.
Oh, nice. That happens.
And what was it like in typhoon mode? Do the resort staff, wherever you're staying, do they go in lockdown?
Everything gets shut down, and they were trying to get people off the island because you can only go, the only way out of it is through a little boat. And the last boat had left, and the next one, they can't say when, you know, when they'll be leaving. So we were kind of freaking out because it's like, oh my God, you got to go back to Melbourne and go back to work. We can't tell your employer when you're coming back.
I was actually delayed by 3 days because of it, so which was a bit scary. But yeah, the little boats that they send over is practically like a canoe, stretched, widened canoe kind of thing with a little roof on it. But they, apparently a very large boat had actually sunk not too far away. And so they said, well, the water's too treacherous. We just can't Let you go yet. And we said, what about a helicopter? I'm thinking like in the movies, you know, they'll evacuate us, they'll get us out of here. But no, apparently not.
We were staying at a really, like, what wouldn't say like real bad resort, but it was basically we're in a hut. So we thought, oh my goodness, if we've got any chance of getting out of this island, we have to go to like an actual resort, like a Hilton or something. So we checked into one of those just to make sure we got priority exit off the island if it gets really bad.
Priority exit. Because you do see it in those movies, especially like from the 30s and 40s, you know, like that, film noir. And they seem to throw in, you know, the bad weather and, so that the criminals and the good folk are all kept together in the run room. But you know, there's always, you know, when you said hut, I just had that image of the hut being blown away, you know. Yeah. And just sitting there, I think we better go to a hotel now. Yeah.
Now if you're in the better class resort, you're probably only one step away from the beach.
Yeah. Well,
what was that like waking up in the morning, Kevin, and walking straight down to that water?
Well, on the beautiful days it was lovely to experience running around. And funnily enough, not a lot of the Filipinos really went swimming, so obviously as an Aussie boy or as a country boy, when you go to the beach you just dive in and start swimming around. But over there it wasn't so much, it was more like they would wade around just in a little bit. And Israel and I were like, yeah, we'll swim into a bit further, and then the jet skis were just not too far out, you know, so it was pretty good.
So nice.
After the typhoon, however, everything that was out on the water, like the little boats and things, were on the beach and broken into little pieces. So
it was such a complete contrast. When we first got there, we had a couple of days of beautiful weather, and you as you're coming into the island, you pull in and it's like it's heaven. It's like the crystal blue waters, and it's like, oh my god, this is like.
And they really make it like a procession almost when you are coming in, because all the boats come from the mainland, or the other mainland, and they come in a nice big arc around. And then, of course, you're actually coming into... the whole island of Boracay is like a crescent moon shape. So you're actually coming in and you're seeing, like, left to right, just beautiful sand. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, obviously the resorts and the huts and everything that's on the beach. And depending on, you know, if you're cheap side, medium, or nice and expensive side, they'll break off into the different categories. But it's a really nice sort of feeling, and you know that you're going into the, you know, into the
nice at night area. They've got sand castles with candles inside them, and they've got fireworks on Friday nights with beautiful music playing.
It's a great place to visit. I notice one of you's got a tan, one of you hasn't got a tan. When you've got a partner that tans up really well and probably goes a lovely colour in the sun, what was your experience? Did you remember to slip, slop, slap, Kevin?
I did, but slip, slop, slap, it still equals red and stinging, so it doesn't really matter what I do.
This is the thing, you know, when you have a partner from a different culture, it really would be nice to be able to exchange melanin so that you could share the skin tone.
I think that would, yeah. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen, unfortunately, but no, that's hopefully our future children will eventually... Have be blessed with the tan, and the nose.
Tell us about that. Future children, you guys got a bit of a family bent. You've got this yearning to nurture.
We do, Well, eventually want to not so much adopt. We actually do want to go through the whole surrogacy process, but that would require us not to be in Australia, unfortunately, with current local laws. So, which is a bit of a shame, but you know, when we do have a spare 120 grand or so, we can probably go to the US and go and have our custom made children.
That's why I have to win the voice. I really do have to win the voice now to get these kids happening.
So look, a little call out to the staff of our lovely Prime Minister who do listen to Detours. That's another reason why we perhaps do need marriage equality, to give us the same rights. The two gentlemen here in our studios are fine examples of how good parents are found. And you know, have good values, and these guys would make great parents. So, if you're listening from the PM's office, I think this is a Detours podcast later on. You should be playing in the limo on the way to the next engagement.
Well, do we send a cheerio to Julia now?
No, she's a great supporter of the gay community. I mean, having been to midsummer carnivals before, you know, just mixing with her friends. I mean, she's a supporter. One day, I think we're on the cusp of you guys being able to, if you choose, getting getting married if you don't choose still having the same rights. Mm. So good luck with having kids. How many kids?
Two.
Just two.
Yeah, just two.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to have, obviously, this from the same egg donor and one from Kevin and one from me. And mm-hmm. kind of like, what's that guy, Doogie Howser? He had twins in the States.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris.
See, there's something wrong with me. I did not have a maternal bone in my body. I just sit here going, why? Why would you do that?
Well, our friend,
don't understand.
Our friend just actually had a baby on Thursday, Reth and her boyfriend, Chad, and they're also an interracial couple. Mm-hmm. And the baby came out ridiculously huge. It was 11 pounds something and had a full mop of black hair and this little cute button nose and the rest of it. But yeah, it was a gigantor. But he's gorgeous.
So cute.
But they actually had him in the same area with the special care babies.
Yeah.
And so you got this tiny little kids who are just, you know, obviously having problems with respiratory problems. And then you've got this huge baby right in the middle
like
of
a sumo wrestler baby.
Sumo wrestler baby. So it was quite amazing.
Yeah. No, all the power to you for doing that. Because it's one concept about, you know, gay life that I've never understood. Like, yeah, because I see that thing about me not particularly liking children and think, why would you do that? Like, I just do not get it.
For these guys, I've got a bit of, I think it's a really romantic song. I love it. It's Rihanna's song, California King Bed. I really love it because it's that passion, I think, in relationships is something really, really special. So this is for Kevin. This is for Israel. This is for you, Linz, if you and I ever have kids.
My eggs are dried, love it.
And this is for all of you out there on Detours. You're on Joy 94.9. And that's Boracay. Can you hear the waves?
Chest to chest, nose to nose, palm to palm, we were always just that close. Wrist to wrist, toe to toe, lips that felt just like the inside of a rose. So how come when I reach out my finger, it feels like more than distance between us?
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guests, Israel Pascal and Kevin Carr. I was going to say Kevin Corche.
Kevin Corche. Right.
And joining us is Pete Dillon. Coming up on the hour is Cravings, Pete.
Yes, and I am following in the comedic vein of today. I've got two comedians, both of whom have food associated with their programs. One of them does toasted sandwiches. Her name is Jan Marie, and Dave Bluestein is my other guest. He's also got a bit of food in his show, The Social Contract. So we're going to have a sort of very funny food discussion and play some highly inappropriate music.
Oh, sounds nice.
Appropriate music from Pete Dillon. After last week's chocolate show, Pete. I mean, I put on a kilo listening to Cravings last week. Yeah. A whole kilo.
That's all about.
Every Saturday, 1 o'clock, following Detours. You have to tune in for Detours beforehand. Now, guys, you've travelled other places together. Where can we explore now leading up to the Cravings Hour?
Somewhere with a bit of culinary direction. Well, I mean, Sydney is quite nice. We've eaten a couple of times up in Sydney.
We went to Manly.
Yeah,
actually, at the New Brighton Hotel, there was some nice food there.
And first time travelling to Sydney together?
Second time, actually, but the first time
was years ago.
But I mean, it was the most recent experience was fun. I've been up there twice in about 2 months, which is good. And sort of seeing, we were sort of located in the Chinatown area, which is awesome little
Haymarket
experience.
Area.
Yeah, Haymarket, going to all the
nice
places.
Nice around that spot. It's nice.
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 Now, together you've been a couple of times. With your commitments now, you probably do a lot more running up and down, flying places and doing things, Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, I do quite a bit of travel. Can't really talk
No,
because it might we won't give talk it away. About it.
But however, you'll have to stay tuned, and we'll give you a bit of a tease too on Detours and on Joy. But the question there is: does the edge fall off travel when you start to do it regularly?
Oh no, definitely not. Everything is, you know, like even if you've gone to a place so many times, there's always something that I wish I would have done that. So you kind of go to that, and then you realize there's actually more, and then you meet more people, and they recommend so many places, and it's like, well, definitely, that's in my to-do list next time I'm back here. So
we actually do have a plug for an awesome little pie shop, which is in Sydney. Next time you're in Sydney and you're at the heading to the Powerhouse Museum, there's just before the Powerhouse, there's a little place called Hannah's Pies.
Oh my God, yes, yeah.
We yeah. had that. It's 10 times better than Pie Face, unfortunately. And you can't help but want to have a second one after you've had a full meal of the first pie with the mashed potato and the and even the mushy peas and the gravy, and it just drives
you insane.
It's just
so very nicely homemade, and it's cheap too. So
well, there you go. That's on my frequent trips to Sydney. I'm going to be visiting that place.
Hannah's Pies.
However, I've got to tell you that unless they have wasabi mash.
Yes, they do.
They do.
I love wasabi mash. It's just amazing. Have you had wasabi mash?
No.
It's the most exquisite accompaniment for whatever else you're eating it with.
Wasabi is really hot, isn't it?
But you have it with tuna or salmon or something.
It's actually not that hot. It sounds really like, I mean, if you've had wasabi, it's like, wow, this is probably going to burn me in both ends. But but the wasabi mash is actually light.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
I've had wasabi mayo before. So obviously, it's just wasabi mixed with mayonnaise, I think. But and that's actually in the city here at, I think, at Automatic across the way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't actually taste spicy, but the flavor of the wasabi is fantastic. Yeah.
So in the Philippines, you know, like, you know, we talk about national dishes and things like that. What would be the national dish of the Philippines?
I would say adobo, which is like a vinegar-based kind of like a casserole dish. You can have it with beef or lamb or chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's a favorite from anyone coming from a Western country, and you give them a dish, so you can't give anything too wild. So that one's, it's very nice in the palate. Yeah.
Now, we're going to invite you guys to do something. Israel Pascal and Kevin Carr. Ish. It's much better, isn't it?
Easy.
We're going to invite the two of you to do, we call them live reads. This is a promotion for Joy for our chocolate drive, and it's presented by Kevin Carr and Israel Pascal.
Happy Easter from Joy 94.9.
On the hunt for quality chocolates this Easter?
Hop into Joy and pick up a dark and milk chocolate, apricots, mangoes or grapes.
Plus choose from chili choc, wattle seed or wild peach coated macadamias.
We have fabulous Easter gift packs too.
Bounce into Joy today and support this yummy Joy fundraiser.
We've been around the world and nothing gets us excited like Detours on Joy 94.9.
You know what, guys? Keep up your day jobs.
I thought they did well.
I think they did well.
Life reads are horrible things to do at times. And every time I do one, there's about 17 different things to advertise. I don't know what I'm reading by the time I get to the bottom of the page.
I think that's why Greg handed it over, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, exactly. No, you do. I think they did very well.
The best live read I gave Lindsay to do actually had a post-it note on it saying, some little scribbled note on top of the live read, and she read the post instead of the live read.
Well, when you see it there, you just think, oh, maybe this is an addendum to what I meant to be reading. But no, it was what your last trade was or something, wasn't it, Greg?
Now, Ish and Kevin, where are your next travel plans? What are the destinations in the near future for both of you?
I am heading off to Los Angeles on Tuesday.
Awesome.
Oh,
yes.
That'd be hard to take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going too, Kev?
No, that's why it's hard to take.
He's supporting my lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm the financier while I'm staying here. Yeah.
So, nice. Are you going to do bachelor cooking for a couple of weeks or what?
No, we have Israel's cousin's wife from the Philippines living with us, and she does all the cooking. So, very happy.
Thank you, Josie.
Thank you
for looking after us.
Can we borrow Josie for,
send over some empty takeaway containers and we'll send you some full ones if you want.
Don't tempt me.
And what part, what, you know, don't tell us your business plans, but you hope to see some sights while you're over there as well?
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping to. I haven't been to Venice Beach. I was there 10 years ago, but I didn't really explore too much. Again, I wasn't out, so I didn't explore West Hollywood. So I'm going in there, hitting the bars and chatting to people.
And doing the outdoor muscle gyms. I can see you out there working the Venice Beach, working the muscles.
Oh, on roller skates as well.
On roller skates with the earphones and the 70s socks.
That's right, 70s socks.
Well, hopefully you get to go to West Hollywood, because that's something as well you want to head out to
just
see.
A bit of, you know, schmoozing.
Well, perhaps we'll link you up to the Detours Facebook site, and you might want to paste a message or two to the people that listen to Detours every week.
I will, definitely.
It'd be really cool. Now, future destinations for the two of you when you're in leisure mood.
Oh.
What are the plans?
Well, most recently we'll be heading to Maui today.
Yeah, we're going there today.
Easter with the family. Mm.
Lovely, lovely.
So all to my Gippsland gay friends coming home, but
Italy.
Oh yeah, we our big plan is the Europe trip.
Yeah,
Euro trip. So that's hopefully 2013.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Or even this year if we can.
Yeah. Guess what? Our hours come up. We've been so privileged, Lynn, haven't we, to have
absolutely
Israel Pascal and Kevin Kutche.
Kevin Kutche. It sounds very Hollywood, doesn't it? Kevin Kutche. Kutche, I like that.
So thanks very much for playing with us today. It's been a pleasure. And we appreciate you guys spending time at Joy 94.9 as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And everybody, don't forget, Spend TV tonight at 10:30 p.m. on C44. Watch it.
Awesome.
I know. I've got to get that one in. Thank you, guys. It was fabulous. Absolutely thank fabulous. Thank you, Greg. It was a pleasure being here with you again today. Grrr.
And podcast up tonight. So stay tuned. We'll be back next week. Detours returns every Saturday, 12 noon on Joy. See you, gents.
Bye. Thank you. See you, guys.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
More new music than any other radio station. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.